Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this breakdown, my four favorite youth basketball actions. A little context first. I've been working with youth basketball since 2008, and the majority of my basketball training experiences with high school players. However, I've been doing different youth basketball programs, directing for different schools in years past in Michigan and Ohio, doing my own in South Carolina. But now that my oldest daughter is getting older, she's nine. I've been coaching her team and running our 3-on-3 league. And these are some of the actions that I found to be beneficial and actually effective, because I think that sometimes we as coaches can get into a lot of things that are a little too complex. And you got to think about the player. If you're working with 10 and under kids, I mean, kids have different types of want to, how much they really want to listen and learn and get better, how much they enjoy basketball. So that's one. Two, what's their talent level, right? And I'm not just talking about size and speed. I'm talking about hand-eye coordination, right? Footwork, right? Players are able to pick up certain skills because their bodies are growing and changing. And let's be honest, some kids have better hands and feet than others. Is that something we can improve? Of course, right? There's a level of experience that kids come in with that's different. Have kids been coached before? Do they have any other experience with basketball coming in to play for your team? With the team that I was coaching this past season, it was like 50% of the girls who was their first time playing basketball. And so we really had to start from scratch, which is kind of fun. But at the same time, man, if you are coaching youth basketball, I tip my hat to you. Right now, I'm tipping my hat to you, because like I've coached in Germany. I've coached in high school, varsity, Michigan, Ohio. I've coached junior high. The hardest level of basketball I've coached is youth basketball. It really is. So props to you for doing the good work, because we have to start somewhere. Right. And so there's a want to level. There's a talent level. There are different experiences kids are bringing in. And also, like, let's be honest, kids have different parents. Enough said. And so all of this affects, you know, how we're able to teach them to the best of our ability. And so as we get into these four player actions, these are some ones that I found to be beneficial, and some may surprise you a little bit. So as you look at this screen, pay no attention to where the players are at right now on this breakdown. But let's say we have a kid who brings the basketball down, and they start driving to the basket. And like most, they're going to get stuck. Somebody's going to stop them, because kids don't understand a whole lot of man-to-man defense. There might be two or three players guarding the ball, right? And so one thing that we've, like, if there's probably, this is why I'm starting with. Number one, the thing that I teach the most with our players as far as moving off the ball, as far as like an action, is a kickback. So you've probably heard different coaches talk about headlights and taillights. I don't know who invented that, but it's genius, right? So when you drive, do you have a person in front that you could pass to that's headlights, person behind that you could kick back to? Those are called taillights. And so keeping that in mind is called, hey, we're going to kick it back, right? So I'm always telling our girls, if you drive and you get stuck, okay, we want to be strong with the ball. We want to get it on 2 feet, maintain a pivot, and we need somebody to kick it back to. So if you're close, I need you to help, and I need you to fill around so that they can be able to pivot sometimes and kick the basketball back and pass it back to you. All right. So the kickback is a huge part of what we work on. A lot of times it'll be the basketball on one of the wings, and a player will kind of drive down. And if you've seen youth basketball, the majority of the game is played on the right side of the court in the short corner. That's where kids drive. Even if it's not open, kids like to drive there. They get stuck. There's help defense. And so to be able to have, usually it's a player who is at the elbow, a player at the top of the key, if they can start to fill behind, that's your taillights. What I call, hey, we're going to kick it back, kick it back. So much is crowded and congested around the painted area that pass across the paint is very, very difficult Kids might not have the strength or the size to be able to make that pass anyway. And one thing that I always tell our players and our girls are, you might be open from where you're at, but from where she's at with the ball, she still cannot get the basketball to you, right? Because of the pressure that's on her. She can't see you. Her ability, her just the strength aspect of being able to throw you the pass at some of these younger levels is difficult. So we have to get in a position where we can get that pass easily. And so really working on the kickback. Just yesterday, we worked on the kickback, driving from the wing, filling behind, kicking the basketball back, and then that player can respace the court. They can pass preferably. They could possibly get into another drive. Let's be honest, that youth basketball, usually once you get a bunch of passes in, the other team just steals it. So it's kind of like we need to have ball movement, and we want to try to get that shot and get some offensive rebounds, right? And kind of building from there. So number one is kicking the basketball back. Number two is a pitch or a dribble handoff. Now, these are different, right? So a lot of times with a dribble handoff, if I'm one on the right wing and I dribble to the top of the key, I want to hand the basketball off to number three. I'm trying to get an inside position, get in front of X3, who's guarding three at the top of the key, and you're gonna hand that basketball back. If there's a little more space, like kids are playing a little more of in a gap, you can get a little bit lower. And then that's a little more of like a shovel pass or a pitch that would go to number three in this situation. Now we've created space, we've created movement, and then we can try to drive off of that pitch. So being able to incorporate a dribble handoff allows us to get ball movement. It allows us to get in the way of a defensive player. And you can easily, even with our 9-year-old kids, they can do a weave. They can easily do a dribble weave. I'm driving from the top of the key. I hand off to the wing. Wing player tries to dribble it around back to the center. Do they have a crack to attack? No, they can keep that dribble alive. They can hand off to the other wing, and it's easy. And you see this at every level, from the pros all the way on down. Why? Because it's effective. But for the youth basketball level, it's also easy enough for them to be able to pick up. One of the other reasons that I like the pitch and the dribble handoff are because as young athletes, it's very difficult to make a pass. And this could literally be a strength issue. And also, some kids haven't worked on catching enough, right? They're struggling to catch. So if we can soften it up and get a handoff or just a couple foot pitch where it's like going right into your belly, like if you don't catch it, the ball is literally going to hit you in the chest or in the stomach, and then it's going to fall down, and then you're going to catch it. Things that are that simple. Again, we're talking youth, young kid basketball right here. And I'm learning a ton because, again, most of my experiences at with players at a higher level. But if we can get that movement through handoffs and pitches, it's going to limit some of our turnovers, in my experience, compared to, okay, I have the basketball on the top of the key. I want to get it to three on the wing, and I just pass it to them. One, maybe I can't get it there. Two, can number three on the wing, are they going to catch this pass? And then number three, is that pass going to get stolen by my defender or the teammate who I'm trying to throw to, their defender? So there's a lot of ways that I can turn this ball over just from passing from top to wing that, in my opinion, it's been easier. In my experience, it's been easier for somebody who's at the top and I want to get it to the wing. I'm just going to dribble to their defender. I'm going to hand off or pitch it back to three. And now three has a gap, right, that I've created by passing. By dribbling to them that they didn't have before. Because unless we pass and cut, which we'll get to, if kids pass and stand, okay, you may have got the ball to the wing, but do they have a good gap to attack? By getting that dribble handoff into them, you've now created a bigger gap for them to try to attack on the drive. So we've talked about kickbacks as number one. That's my favorite just because it's protection as well as some ball movement. We're being aggressive, we're driving to the basket. If we don't have anything, we keep that pivot. Somebody fills behind, we kick it back. So that's one. Two, dribble handoff slash pitch. Great options to have. Number three, ball screen, even at a young level, we'll teach the ball screen. I like the ball screen at the youth level much more than an off-ball screen. So if I have five in the post coming up to set a ball screen over here, you know, hey, we're going to play two on a side. You know, pay too much attention to, like, you know, youth basketball. Like this is not the spacing you're going to have. The kids can't even shoot threes, right? They're kind of bunched up, and you say, oh, the spacing's terrible. The spacing's terrible. Actually, the spacing's pretty good. You're just looking at it from the viewpoint of what a varsity team would do, right? So, like, if you want your kids outside the 3-point line, do you really want them outside the 3-point line? They can't get it to the rim from there, and they got to take two dribbles to the hoop even to get in a position to score. So the spacing is going to need to shrink as well. Again, they're a lot smaller. So anyway, back to the ball screen, very simple to teach. And one of the reasons, the main reason I like teaching the ball screen compared to an off-ball screen is a ball screen is a two-player action. Like, even if the other three players out on the court are in the wrong spots, we can still get some movement. It'll be myself with the ball, somebody setting a screen for me, and we can execute a ball screen. Whereas an off-ball screen is a three-player action. So three players need to be on the same page. And let's see, we just finished our 5-on-5 youth basketball season, and we played eight games. Do we work on some screening? Yep, we worked on it. Did I see my team or another team execute successfully an off-ball screening action that created something? Not once. Not once. Didn't see it at all, right? But I did see some screen set that allowed a ball handler to get somewhere, allowed some movement to be created within a possession, and that was really, really good to see. So using the ball screen is something that kids can grasp pretty easily, and we can start to get some movement, get going downhill. You want to win as well. You can be competitive. Teams starting to switch, teams figuring out how to guard a ball screen. We're not really there yet, right? Usually we're kind of teaching a lot of the offense first, and from the defensive standpoint, a lot of simply, like, be aggressive, stay between your matchup and the basket, and teaching some rebounding, right? So for us, the ball screen is something that we were able to get a little bit of what we wanted. And I really wish our season was a little bit longer, because I think we were getting some of the handoffs, we were getting some kickbacks, and I really wanted to get to a little more comfortable with our team, being more effective with the ball screens. We were getting it, but not where I know it would go if we had like another month with them. And then the last one is one that is a little more, they're all pretty basic, right? But it's simply passing and cutting, right? Pass and basket cut. And this is something that is easier said than done at the youth basketball level, because we tend to gravitate towards the ball, right? But if we can pass, try to front cut, if at all possible, depending on what level you're coaching, this could be, you could get a pass right back into a give and go and score. But at the very least, we're creating some bigger gaps to be able to try to turn the corner and drive. We're creating some movement instead of standing and watching. And that's been really good. So did our team by any means, you know, run clean offense this season? No. But I will say the amount of improvement, especially considering that half of our girls hadn't played basketball before, for them to be able to say, like, pass and cut, they would be able to pass, they would cut into the paint, and then it would kind of fill out a little bit. That was pretty good. Like, I thought that was pretty good. And it gave the person who had the basketball a little more space than what most teams kind of look like, where it's pass and then I might run back to the basketball and try to get it back, or I might pass and just kind of stand and hope that I get the basketball back. It did allow us to get a little bit more movement. All right. With that said, like, it wasn't not coaching like we had like these amazing players or anything like that. I'm not even saying I did a awesome job coaching, but these were the four things that this season coaching 10U youth girls basketball, we were able to implement throughout the course of our season that were actual actions, right? So we're not just talking like skill, basketball skills, individual skills, actions that you could run 5-on-5 out on the court that players were able to get better at. And you could actually see some of those results affect us positively in the game. So, again, the kickback is huge because I wanted to teach driving and being aggressive off the start. Like if we were transitioning down the court, I really wanted us to be aggressive and try to get to the rack and see if we could score, maybe make a pass for somebody to take a shot. So with that being like the main part of our transition from defense to offense is really pushing it up with court and seeing if we could get a good early shot. What came right after that is, okay, we don't have anything. And let's say we have picked our dribble up. It's that kickback pass, right? Now let's say we're in more of a half court set. Okay, then we're talking the dribble handoffs, we're talking some ball screens and some passing and cutting. And if like when I coach youth basketball again next year, these are going to be the four things that we will like really hammer home and try to concentrate on and see if we can get better at them in a faster period of time. And then, hey, can we, mix in some other things? Can we mix in some off-ball actions? Are we going to get there? I don't know. My thoughts would be, I just want to get better at these four things again. And then you combine the individual skills of, can we become better drivers? Can we become better finishers around the rim? And can we start to do a better job of making the pass that is like across the lane if somebody drives from the wing on the right side? And a lot of times we'll have somebody around the opposite post. Are we starting to get a little bit better at seeing that player having some court vision? And that would be building in more of the headlights, right? You drive and there's, if the hoop's in front of me, I know it's not, there's not a player standing underneath the basket. But in that vicinity of being able to get them the basketball, they're in my line of sight is what we're talking about, finding that open window. And that's something that I would really like to get better at with the young players that we're continuing to work with, especially when we hit basketball season, which starts down here, like end of November, something like that. So those are my four actions. Highly recommend them if you're trying. This is on YouTube. Even though this is more of a podcast format with Coach's Edge. So if you're watching on YouTube, appreciate you. If you're listening to the Coach's Edge podcast, appreciate you. If you're listening on the Coach's Edge podcast, you want to check out some of the stuff on our YouTube channel, check that out. We're doing a lot on YouTube. We had the 29-day ball handling series. We just cracked 4,000 subscribers and we're like well on our way to continuing to grow the YouTube channel, which is pretty cool. But Coach's Edge podcast, again, you have players coming in. At the youth level, I tip my hat to you for all youth basketball coaches. In my experience, it's the hardest level of basketball that I've coached, and different levels will want to get better, different talent levels, different parents, different experiences coming in. And being so young, you got this blank canvas that you're trying to work with, and it's very, very challenging. But man, is it rewarding! It is so rewarding to see. Kids get better, to have kids that come in and they're traveling and they're double dribbling and they're shooting with two hands. And by the end of the season, they're better at those individual skills and they're starting to understand, like, okay, if somebody's in trouble, how do I help them out? If, I want to get somebody the basketball, what are ways that I can do that? It's very, very rewarding. If you can do all that and have some fun along the way, to me, that's a job well done. So appreciate all of you. Thank you for taking the time to watch this video, to listen to the podcast. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. If you're a varsity coach and you're listening, you're like, hey man, I thought this podcast was like, the nitty-gritty details. I'm telling you, like this is your future, right? If you're a varsity basketball coach, you got to have a great youth basketball program in place. And these are some things that I think can benefit your players down the road when they do get to you at the varsity level because you're teaching them some of these basic concepts at an early age. And so it's all about building that foundation, building from the ground up. And that starts with our youth basketball players enjoying the game, learning the game in a positive environment. Thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. Get after it today.